Welcome to Too Many RPGs, a show about RPG shows.
It's sort of like a three-headed hydra if they all wanted to talk about the same thing that was really cool, and it was something that two of them didn't have enough time for, and one of them did, and they listened to it and then told the other two about it in sort of detail, but only enough to make you want to actually go watch the thing.
Just like that.
And today we're talking to Jay about Dungeon Rats. Hello, Jay.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to talk to you guys about one of my favorite shows.
Something about dungeons and rats.
Many dungeons have rats.
That is a fact. The Dungeon Rats is the name of the party in the podcast that I like. It's a live play podcast. They play 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons. It is very enjoyable. All the cast members are actually, with one exception, improv people who live in Chicago. Because they're improv people, they really play off each other really well. For reasons I'll get into, I think that it's a very good comedy RPG podcast that sets it apart from the others. At least for me.
I mean, you just answered my first question. Is it a homebrew D&D world? Are there lots of crazy rules, or is it just kind of vanilla?
Well, the Dungeon Master, his name is Patrick O'Rourke, and it's in his own setting called the Kingdom of Naporia, which actually does have quite a bit of backstory to it, where they feed you it drop-wise, because it's like comedy. So less of it is story-driven, and a lot of it is stupid action-driven. People being intentionally poor decisions, which is very enjoyable, and reminds me of my own table.
I'm just, my brain is like, no poria? Like, no poor? Is this a pun? There's no pores.
If I was DMing this, I would totally do that kind of stuff just so I could spike jokes. I actually did a Masquerade short campaign where they ended up throwing flasks of the scent border scent up the nose of a wolf, and I told them that before then they had to collect some bear urine for the scent border, so they were joking like, oh my god, this wolf is going to be so mad at us. And I said, yes, the wolf turns to you and he's pissed.
Oh man.
Absolutely awful.
Oh man.
Is this the kind of like high humor we can expect from Dungeon Rats, or?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think that one thing I enjoyed about it that I didn't expect is that it does have lots of more base humor. Like, each of the party members has, I don't want to say like a gimmick, but when you're making anything, you know, I try never to do my first idea. Like, when I was writing my beat sheet for this, I think this is my fourth or fifth draft, and it's super simple. Like, you guys can see it, because I want to know what I'm doing already. So I write it, I delete it, I write it, I delete it, I write it, I delete it, and then I do the last one.
I don't even think that there's like a question mark in front of any of these experts. Like, this, you know, like, you're not an expert, you're definitely an expert, because this is like so very prepared. Like, he has notes. We don't even have notes.
He sent me sound clips.
This is so everyone else invites me to their podcasts. What was the question?
I was asking about Naporia.
So it's set in Naporia, which is the Patrick O'Rourke, the Dungeon Master, his own campaign setting. And the thing is that with the show, because it's all run by improv people, the magic items, encounters, NPCs, and plot twists come from the community.
For they are forever trapped in the endless dungeon. And it's your job to keep them there and make them suffer through your most wicked creations.
Because I listen to the show, and because I've submitted ideas, I am a guardian. The fans of the show submit ideas, and then where the Dungeon Rats are trapped, the Endless Dungeon uses its magic to make those ideas into fabricated reality. They were sent to the Endless Dungeon because they murdered the royal family, the king, queen, and possibly even the princess of Naporia, in a podcast that is not canon anymore. They've only done 2 seasons, and the first episode of their podcast, they were a Twitch stream. And I've listened to those. They're entertaining, certainly. They don't have editing, of course. And then before that, they were on Patrick O'Rourke's other podcast. I can't remember the name of it, because I've never even listened to it. You don't need backstory. That's not why you're here. You're here to listen to all these hilarious improv comedians who, when they first started, barely knew each other, riff on each other, and play very, like, basic characters. Like, go ahead.
So it's almost like less of a D&D campaign, more of a community improv show that uses D&D as its through line.
Yeah, like they had a mailbag episode where they talked about, oh, like, why don't you guys just play Fiasco or something that's a really rules light system? And they said, well, that's fun. We like that. But if we're going to do that, let's just improv. Like they wanted to do it in the focus of 5e because they like it and they don't want to have to do all that extra work. They just want to turn their brains off and improv and be very funny.
Yeah, I think there's something really nice about having like the structure of a rule system and a place to go. They're like, you know, they're like your beats. Mm-hmm. You can kind of do crazy stuff in between because you know you're going to the next beat, you know, like round is this. And so you have, you know, an action and a bonus action and a move to do your crazy dumb shit. And then somebody else will take over. So you don't have to like worry about, you know, you only need 6 seconds of crazy dumb shit.
Yeah. That's a really smart point because like whenever you're doing something creative, the first thing you want to do is remove as much blank space on your page as possible. That's why like when I write notes for my own campaigns, I write it, delete it, and then I already, like, it's already done. Like I already took blank space off. Or like if my players tell me I want to do this, I don't need to worry about it. It's already done. Like if they're going to play like this sort of character, then I know what's going to happen to them. I know what kind of arc they're going to go on. It makes sense. And as for like the arcs of these characters, seamless transition. A lot of them play characters that like the first time you play D&D, like if you play D&D when you were like in middle school or high school, you might, some of these might sound familiar. For example, Alex Colyard plays,
I am Dareil, Dust Goblin, Paladin of the Order of the Possum God, Servant of the Great Pouch. I have pamphlets if you're interested.
I don't remember what supplement Dust Goblins are from, because I've actually never played 5e. but he plays a paladin who hands out pamphlets about his religion. Like, you like when you first started, you might have played with somebody like that. Justine Kruger plays Rhoda.
I'm Rhoda. I'm a dragonborn fighter blessed with thunder thighs to crush my enemies and impress my crushes.
And Rhoda is a person who's obsessed with trying to find a romantic love interest.
I love that.
Oh, I do too. I think like she's so quick on the draw too that like she never misses a moment to say something, even if it's like quick and under what everyone else, not under, but like in between what other people are saying, then it's always there and it's always snappy and funny. But they all give each other turns so that no one outshines anyone else. Like Carlos Luna plays Gilf, who's a tiefling sorcerer.
Gifted with a keen eye for detective work, while cursed with arcane magic running through my tiefling blood, I truly am the most dangerous of adversaries.
And Carlos actually composes all of the music for the show and also does like the Foley effects. I think they get some from Battle Bards, but I know that he did like, there's a part where Rhoda rips off a shark's jaw and he was talking about how he had to make that sound. His character is kind of like the default leader because his character is a worrywart and like very, very, very serious. But everyone always shits on him. Like at every single opportunity. And it is hilarious. They undercut everything that Gilf does in a great way. I have a clip where Gilf meets Troon of the West, who's played by Austin Champion, who's one of the guests that they have on. And when they first meet them, Gilf says, oh, and we walk up to each other and we just immediately do this crazy handshake. And it's like, oh, what happened? And then when Troon eventually leaves the group, like he says a heartfelt goodbye to everyone. And then Gilf does an inner monologue saying, oh, he's going to turn to me. What's he going to say? And then Austin like says, and Troon stands up and turns to Gilf and walks past Gilf, and he says nothing to him.
Aw.
That's so sad.
It's very funny. It is sad. But, like, it comes to the point where, like, the first time you, like, something sad happens, you feel bad for that person, and then the second time you sniffle a little, and then the third time you're laughing at them.
Yeah. It's just a sad sack.
Yes. Yes. And he's an intelligent character, but they just fuck with him the whole time.
On the show, they're in this never-ending dungeon. So is it very, like, episodic? Is there kind of, like, an arc? Or is it, like, every episode you're like, well, what fresh hell are we finding ourselves in today?
There is an arc. Season one has a definite ending, and then season two has a new and interesting beginning, where they take the show in a different direction. Not one so much that turned me off from it, or as far as I know, anybody else. But it does have story, it does have an arc. It's just, you never know how they're gonna get there, and even the DM doesn't know what direction it's gonna go in from moment to moment, which is true for lots of RPGs and lots of campaign sessions, but like, because Patrick is absorbing all of these suggestions that people make, it's fucking crazy. I don't know how he does it.
I can't imagine, because I used to do improv, like, as a, we had something called comedy sports in high school, and I can't imagine playing D&D in that setting, where you have someone like, can I get a suggestion from the audience? I need a noun, all right, and a color, all
well,
right.
To be fair, they did have an enemy that was, like, a cheese golem, and they had, like, the first episode, they're helping a halfling boy scout find and capture a blink corgi. Like, they're not super high-end ideas, but because they're all professionals, they're able to do things that I wouldn't have thought of, and that always entertained me.
So what is the story that they're telling throughout this show? Like, I guess, you know, season one, season two, like, what's the elevator pitch?
Season one is they are caught in the Endless Dungeon for supposedly murdering the royal family. They do what they can to try to escape the Endless Dungeon, and in the progress of doing so, they find out things about some of their other party members. For example, Aram Vartian, who's the producer of God's Fall. I don't know if you guys listen to that. He plays Beligard.
I am Beligard, the half-orc paladin, condemned for the sins of my past, but hopeful for redemption in the future.
That is, in honesty, one of the nobles of Naporia, who is transformed into a half-orc. And his ex-boyfriend is the new warden of the Endless Dungeon. So they have to use his past with the warden, Antelio Licolai, to eventually escape. Or at least try to. And then season two is after the events of that exact encounter.
Yes, yes, yes.
Does that answer your question? I feel bad not wanting to say too much.
I mean, you can spoil it a little bit. Like, the whole point of this is you listen to two seasons, so we jump in and listen to the next episode. Fine. Would you say that there's a good mix of, like, comedy to, like, feels?
I think that there are certainly some feels, but and they're not even few and far between. It just depends on what you want to invest in the characters. My job recently changed. I have less time to listen to the stuff that I wanted to while I was at work. So I had to, like, go through and pick the stuff that I wouldn't be able to listen to. And I kept the Dungeon Rats because I need something that's kind of light on story that I can turn on and off and that will entertain me while I'm doing something rather dull. So, to me at least, this is more of a comedy entertaining thing as opposed to a high feels thing. But there is a moment where all the characters are pitted in front of someone from their past that they honestly do, I believe, a good job convincing the audience that their characters are really upset about what they're doing, because they're all actors.
So yeah, lots of moments that make you laugh, obviously. Was that like the moment that made you cry? Has Dungeon Rats ever made you cry?
It's definitely made me cry from laughing. Actual feels, less so. Not because there aren't honest moments that make me happy or make me feel sad, but it is what it is. Plus, I'm listening to it at work.
Fair.
Like, when I'm driving.
Yeah, you don't want to cry while you're working and or driving.
Ideally, not recommended.
Well, ideally, no.
I mean, that's okay. I think there's a lot of, like, very feels-heavy shows out there. So it's kind of nice to, you know, just not have those feels every so often. I don't know what that's like, really, not having feels.
I really do have feelings for the characters. I really like them a lot. And honestly, there are emotional moments, certainly, but I can't say that I've been horribly moved by any of them.
That's not the intention. It's character comedy, is what it sounds like.
Yes, I think that's very fair. Plus, if you are more into just straight up improv, they started doing on their outros after they did, like, their plugs and stuff, they would do an improv session where Pat is playing the Dungeon Master of the Endless Dungeon, and the cast are playing suggestions, and they just riff on something stupid and honestly have a very funny moment together.
So how much audience participation is there? That's what I'm really interested. That's very interesting that like it looks like if you, you know, listen to the show and you submit things, you know, they'll put that in the thing. So is there, are there crazy monsters that get put in there, or is it just like kind of chill?
There are very crazy monsters, and you know, you can listen to the show and not participate at all and still enjoy it very, very much so. When you do invest the time to suggest something that's new and interesting, then the cast really responds to it. For example, someone actually submitted themselves, their small hometown, and their friends that they play D&D with in an illusory part of the dungeon. The rats go from a very, very difficult encounter through a mysterious portal, and they are placed in this town in modern America, where like one of them like goes to a movie theater and watches like adventures that they had been on, and he sees like a much more handsome actor playing himself, and he's just eating popcorn being like, oh, this is great. And one of them goes into a grocery store and just follows a woman and puts identical things into their cart that the woman does. And that person actually has they come back and like the person who submitted that submits questions on the mailbag. Plus, if you follow their Patreon, you donate some amount for just 1 month, and you can play a game with them, or you can write like a whole thing for them.
What have you suggested that's been on the show? Have you suggested anything that's been on the show?
I've not suggested anything that's been on the show.
Maybe they'll listen to this, and maybe we can like we can plug your ideas.
So I did submit one thing. I submitted it as a joke because the person who plays Rhoda said on Twitter as Rhoda that, oh, today's my birthday and I didn't get anything in the dungeon. Like, it's such garbage. And I tweeted and I said, oh, everyone deserves a birthday. And I checked her Twitter bio and it said that her birthday was like 3 months before then. So I pointed that out and I'm like, but you still deserve a birthday. The official Dungeon Rats like tweeted at me and said, no, Jay, you are a guardian. You deserve a birthday. Rhoda is garbage and does not. She's a murderer. And I said, well, I suggest that she should have a birthday party that's thrown by a bunch of incubi. And then the next day, they should murder her.
Oh, what? No.
Oh my goodness. Jay. Jay.
What? That's the whole point. Oh, dear. You're submitting encounters as a guardian.
Oh my goodness. It's role-playing. Like, is what? But like murder?
If you're going to throw monsters at someone, you intend them to be murder.
I suppose.
What doesn't matter what it is. It could be like a knife tornado. Like.
Oh, that's really good. Hey, Dungeon Rats, we want a knife tornado.
That might get on there.
A knife elemental.
Well, in Storm King's Thunder, you can fight air elementals that are full of coins because they're in like a dragon's hoard.
Okay.
So like you could there could totally be an air elemental full of knives.
They're rot. Rot would love that.
Rot. The rot.
Hey guys, I'm your fearless leader. I used to be a goblin, but now I'm just a hand.
So in their past adventures, they joined up with a insane little goblin who had a bizarre affection for knives and other sharp objects. And he's really become a caricature. And the running gag is that he claims himself to be the leader of their group, though he was magically transformed into literally just a hand. Yeah. And Pat actually plays Hearthstone as Rot.
Oh my God.
On Twitch, which I find to be very entertaining, even though it is just a man with googly eyes on taped to his hand screaming about how much he wants to stab people.
That is dedication to your art.
You know, that's a better way to put it than I could have.
That is some dedication. Wow. Oh man. So why do you love Dungeon Rats? You said that you had to call a lot of things that you listen to. I mean, because there are hashtag too many RPGs. I said the name of the show. Wow. Oh my God. Why did Dungeon Rats make the cut? Why do you love Dungeon Rats?
I used to teach improv classes when I was in school. And I love improv comedy, one. Two, I think that this is different from a lot of other comedic RPG podcasts, because I listen to some of the Harmontown one, I listen to Nerd Poker, and I think that, you know, they have good bits. I can certainly tell that the people are having fun, but like for the Dungeon Rats, I have an honest affection for the actual people. It makes me happy that I know that Carlos Luna composes the music. It makes me happy knowing that Serena and Carlos are together and like seeing their little pictures on their Twitter feed. And I like that I know that Justine Kruger never knew any of them until they spontaneously played D&D together. And they're a group that have a lot of heart. They did a thing where they had like stickers printed and like little keychains and stuff and posters. And they thought, we could totally sell these. But instead of doing that, they said, hey, if you guys want to leave an honest review on iTunes, and if you are comfortable with giving us our address, we'll mail it to you. Just for saying that you like our show. Just for being a fan of it and enjoying this experience together. Plus, they did, there was an encounter where there were a fraternity of gnolls, and they had captured someone. Now, this person was actually a young woman. And at the start of the episode, Patrick, as Patrick, said, hey, in an effort to combine some encounters and to have a story and to make some of the bad guys as bad as possible, this certain thing happens. He explains the situation and says, if you're not comfortable listening to this, I understand. And I don't want to make light of this situation because this is a real thing that happens. And he gave a hotline to talk to in case you or anyone you know has been affected by sexual violence. And he didn't have to do that. But I think that he really did have to do that. And that was really special to me. Plus, I enjoy the show with my wife also. And there's not a lot of podcasts that the two of us both listen to. But if you, you know, listen to a little bit of this and feel the same way as I do about the cast members, I think that you'll understand why this made it past the chopping block with flying colors.
That's really nice that you listen to it with your wife. Like, do you listen to the episodes together? Do you like sit there and are like, oh, I can't wait to listen to it? Or do you listen to it separately and then talk about it after?
We live in Cleveland and we often make the drive down to Columbus to see family. And that's 2-hour drive. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, we're going to spend the entire time talking to each other and being lovey-dovey newlyweds. But other times, fuck that. And we're just going to put on a podcast. And, like, that's how I introduced her to the show. I played, in between seasons 1 and 2, they did a little thing with, Patrick O'Rourke as the DM, and then Katie Navanti and Nick Simon as, who are not normal cast members, they're just friends of Pat, and they came on and played, Sebastian and Ariel, who were going to be going on a nautical adventure to go to Naporia from Trimea, their own little group of islands. And they roll, I believe, over a 10, like, twice in the first episode. It is awful. And the two of them have never played before. They're just having the worst luck, and all this shit keeps piling up on top of them. But because they're both hilarious people, it's just so entertaining to listen to. Like, there's a dog who's on the ship who, at the start of it, they're actually, like, begging a character towards the end of the first episode, like, please help us take care of this dog. Like, his owner was lost at sea, and he's got a skin condition, and but then, eventually, the dog, like, they have to care for this dog, and by the end of it, they're just yelling, God damn it, Patches, get out of there, you're gonna get your blood sucked out by the monsters. That first episode, when I played it with my wife, was twice as good as the first time I listened to it, and we were in tears laughing while driving, which you should not do.
Don't do it.
It's not worth it. If anyone out there is interested in the show, then I highly suggest listening to the episode A Trip to Naporia in between seasons 1 and 2. It's just a little one-shot. I think that it's very interesting. There's only 2 episodes to that whole campaign. And I think that Katie and Nick do a great and hilarious job, as well as the reason why they made this was, you know, it's in between the 2 seasons. They wanted some filler. But also, Carlos was teaching Patrick how to compose music. And Patrick said that he was the type of person that needed a project to, like, learn how to do something like this. So Patrick, this is the first time he's ever composed anything, composes the music to this short campaign and invites some of his very funny friends on to make a little podcast together in between their seasons. And just knowing that little bit of information just makes it twice as good, because there's heart to it. There's heart to the whole show.
It sounds like the whole podcast is friends or people who wanted to become friends on a show, joke around, and just be goofs for however long an episode is.
But it's actually very funny. Because I can listen to that whole thing like other shows would have it. And it's lovely and great, and I'm happy for them. But I only have so many hours.
Right.
Yeah. What's a standard runtime for an episode?
Oh, God. I can't think of any that run longer than that run like 2 hours. I want to say like 45 minutes to 90 minutes at the super longest. But I'm just at work like pounding out.
Okay.
What I'm doing. Don't quote me.
So Jay said,
but they're bite size
on the record that there was no episode longer than 2 hours.
Well, at least this isn't being recorded.
You're totally fine. Yeah.
I'm totally going to do some investigative reporting and I'm going to find the episode that is longer.
Oh no.
And then there's going to be a section right here. And
no, please.
That section will just be like,
just change.
Jay was great, but we had, he's gone.
He's
gone forever.
I can do different takes. Do you want me to do like three different takes? I can do three different takes and then you can pick the one that's right.
Our listeners are very good at correcting us. I've already received corrections for the Star Wars episode. I am...
What?
Yes.
Really?
I haven't even finished editing that episode.
Yes. I have already received, our advanced listeners have told me, so this is it. This is my official apology and correction. Luke Skywalker did not build his lightsaber in the fifth episode in Dagobah. He built his lightsaber in between movies.
Did you actually look that up?
No, that's just something my boyfriend told me.
Oh, Jeff.
Like, right away. He was like, this is wrong. This is how it happened. So, I'm sorry. I'm bad at Star Wars. We'll just clear the air.
Jeff is one of your advanced listeners?
Yeah.
Hi, Jeff.
He composes the cool tunes.
Oh, I like the cool tunes. Yeah,
but anyway.
Questions? Expert?
Questions, expert, what?
Oh, sorry.
This week's podcast as opposed to last week's? What? Time is weird.
Continuity.
How did you find out about Dungeon Rats? What was your gateway to the Dungeon Rats?
Ah, so Aram Vartian plays Beauregard, and he is the producer of God's Fall, and I listen to God's Fall too. It is actually more of my like feels and serious and humor and like a little bit of everything RPG podcast. Do you guys listen to God's Fall?
No, but I've seen Aram on Dice Camera Action, and I've listened to him talk about God's Fall, and it sounds very cool.
I like him as a person a lot too. I think that he on Dungeon Rats plays a great straight man, but I heard it from his Twitter feed because I follow him because of God's Fall. And I checked it out. I really, really enjoyed it. And it's been in my feet ever since.
Excellent.
For a second, you said feet?
Yes.
It's been in your feet.
That's correct.
And I was like, how are jokes in your feet? Feet shouldn't have jokes. That's not a good place for jokes. Well.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like feet are funny.
Are they?
They can be.
It's not funny because I have a deformity and I have ears in my feet.
Oh, sorry.
I have to listen down there, so I'll take my apology off air.
No, no, we only do public apologies. I would like to officially apologize for making fun of Jay's deformity. Feet are very serious.
Your feet.
There have never been any jokes about feet ever before that have ever been funny. I'm very sorry.
I apologize for nothing, ever.
Ethan has done nothing wrong in his life, ever.
That's a good policy, too.
You can't see it, but I'm doing that thing where I twist my fingers into my cheeks.
See, I can do that because I have big, adorable dimples on all four of my cheeks.
Mm.
Or weird.
Can we please get back to the podcast?
Oh, no. You are our best guest. You have now, you've gone down on the, you're still pretty high up there on the hierarchy of guests, but like, you've lost some ranks.
I'm expecting a consistent list of all future episodes.
Can we please?
Number one of them all.
Get back to the podcast.
Yeah, fill in the blank, Jay. If you like blank, you'll like this show.
Improv comedy, good friends, audience participation.
Good reasons to be into a podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
So what episode can we start from after? Like, can we download the latest episodes of Dungeon Rats and just like totally be into it? Or do we have to listen to a whole backlog of it? Or how do I get Dungeon Rats in my life right now?
If I was you, and I'm pretty sure that I'm not, I would begin with A Trip to Emporia, to kind of get a feel for the show and listen to those two short episodes. After that, boss of your own life. You can do whatever you want. I haven't talked about stuff that happens in between, like at the end of season one. So if you want to, you can listen whenever. At the start of season two, they actually do a really good recap of everything. So you can start at the start of season two. You can listen to anything in season one after what I've told you, I believe. But I think it's very entertaining. I'd start at the beginning and enjoy.
Well, we did all the questions.
Did we do all the questions?
What are some of the major themes explored during the show? I guess we kind of skipped over that. This is the book report questions, so.
Oh man, there's butt gnomes in one encounter.
Don't all gnomes have butts?
Oh, these are gnomes that go into butts.
What? That sounds terrible.
That sounds much worse.
Yeah, it's worse than you think it is.
I thought it was a gnome made of butts.
There's a skeleton. There's the halfling scouts, who I mentioned before. Those are major themes. If I was going to honestly answer the question, I'd say that it's not like trying to like convince you of anything or tell a story. It's telling the story that like, oh, these are the dungeon rats. They're trying to get out of, like, there's nothing more to it than that.
So the theme is that it's just fun.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like,
just goofs.
I was talking to my wife about some characters in a show, and I told her not every character needs an arc. If you watch Indiana Jones, you can enjoy Indiana Jones. Character at the start of the movie and the character at the end of the movie is the same damn person. There's no arc. There's no story to it outside of just what happens to that character. And this is kind of like that. They're just enjoying themselves and having a good time, which has value.
It's making me think of like episodic character driven like cartoons that were very popular, like Hanna-Barbera sort of stuff, where you just have characters, put them in situation, have comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like each of the characters has an archetype, or like a kind of like a stereotypical, I think, like stereotypical like first character that someone would make. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed a lot. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, because I didn't realize that they were all had such great improv chops. The rogue in the party, Bugfly, who's played by Serena Marie.
I'm Bugfly, and I'm a rogue Darrow. My favorite hobbies include trinket hoarding, hugs, and building complex explosive devices capable of causing catastrophic damages to every man, woman, and child. And aromatherapy.
Loves stealing things. And the paladin of the group pamphlets.
Wait, the rogue
loves
to steal.
And she's a Darrow, actually. She's very, very small.
But you're telling me the rogue likes to steal.
Yes. Yes.
That is.
Is Lauren unfamiliar?
That is groundbreaking.
Revolutionary.
I don't know if she's ever seen a thiefy rogue.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I don't play the rogue that I play is not thiefy at all. So,
well, that's what I'm, like, it's a first.
No. Thing. Sorry, I was trying to. I was trying to make a joke.
No, I know.
I'm not funny.
That's not true. And cut.
No, only I can say cut.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or Lauren. Lauren can also say cut. She's allowed.
Oh, am I?
I think you should be allowed to.
Okay.
She's gonna end right in the middle of episode 4.
Cut.
Oh no. I had so many more points.
Oh no, I did it. Oh god. This is now the post-production post-show too many RPGs where we finished saying all of the things that we didn't say because I said cut too soon.
Thank you for joining us in the PM version. The after dark version of too many RPGs. Are we accepting any calls? Do we have any calls right now?
Please no. Because I feel like if we did that, we'd have to talk about butt gnomes.
Like,
which I'd really rather.
I mean, that's
do.
A good question. How, like, what? What's.
No!
No. Not the butt gnomes. I don't want to know about butt gnomes either. But, like, are there, like, I don't know. I once played a video game where there were land sharks, and it was literally just a shark sprite with, like, two wiggly lines for legs. And so now land shark is, like, the most ridiculous monster I can think of in my brain. But, like, what other ridiculous monsters? I mean, I feel like an RP, like, it's improv, right? So it's like, I need a noun and another noun, and now we'll mix them together. And now we have a...
Dwayne the Rock Golem Johnson.
Yeah, or like...
That was an encounter.
Wait, is that...
Oh, that was
that
real.
Was real.
Okay, that's
real.
Sure. Excellent. Dwayne the Rock Golem Johnson.
I'm okay with this. Did he wrestle?
Yes, he did, actually. Belagard threw down all of his weapons and armor and greased himself up and got his ass kicked by an actual rock golem. Like, okay. It was just a bad decision from top to bottom. But it was a...
I mean, for the aesthetic, I'm all about characters that do things for the aesthetic. So I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. There was a part where, like, off air, Patrick talked to all of them and said, hey, I want your character's, like, dream magic item so he can dangle it in front of him. It's a good tactic for a DM. And the rogue requested a suit that had, like, little plastic rocks on it so then she could pretend to look like rocks. And they had this huge treasure chest at the end of one of their adventures. And the rogue is the first one to get to it. And that is what's in it. And no one else got their magic item. So all she has is just this shitty looking, like, black spandex thing with a bunch of, like, gray orbs hot glued to it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. No. Yeah. And the DM can say, look, I can only give one person I rolled randomly. This is who got their magic item.
Well, they could have all had their magic items, I think. And she just got there faster than everyone else. So she's the only one who got it. She has used it since. But I don't remember if it was successfully or not.
Probably not.
It did give a bonus, but I don't remember her hiding. No, she did hide by rocks. So I guess it did matter. Maybe.
There wasn't rocks on it. There were just things that looked like... I'm trying to picture this in my mind. I'm picturing, like, one of those mocap suits.
Yes. That's what I envisioned in my mind's eye, yeah. Only with really big ping pong balls.
Okay.
That's exactly what I view. Everything they do and everything they... Like, all the treasure they obtain to be the shittiest version that I can think of those things.
I mean, I have a question, but, like, potions of healing? Those are usually important in Dungeons & Dragons games. Like, do they find potions of healing?
Yes, they actually... Well, no. But they did... The things that they used to heal, they actually visited a dragon by the name of Dottie, who, instead of hoarding gold, hoarded cats and tea. And in the tea party with Dottie the dragon, she gave them magical crumpets that acted as if they had received a full rest.
Those are some good crumpets.
That is the best crump.
Did you just call them crumps? Did you just say the best crump?
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Should I not have?
I mean, maybe not.
Do I need to cut that from the podcast?
I don't know. There's just something, like, that strikes me as, like I have a very visceral reaction to the words, the best crump.
Why are you shaming Ethan for his crumpet?
God, please stop.
Yeah. Ethan, let's start our own podcast about crumpets and crumpet. I need 10 seasons.
Would you like some sugar with your tea and crump?
Hell yeah.
I don't know why I'm laughing so much.
I don't know why you're laughing so much either.
Give me some of that. Yes, and. It's very important in improv.
I mean...
I need more yes and from you, Ethan.
I'm too busy laughing. Okay.
We're good?
I'm clear. I'm cutting the last, like, 5 minutes of this podcast.
I mean, you say that now, but...
Garbage!
Yeah, it's...
Oh, no, it's certainly is.
Thank you for coming on the show, Jay. I can't think of anything else to say. We did all our questions. We did all the stuff. We talked about butt gnomes and crump. Like, what else is there?
That's what? Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I'm so glad you came on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Oh no, this is a great time. You're the best guest. You did all the things.
I'm sure you say that to all.
You sent us sound clips. You, like, took notes.
Where can people find you if they enjoyed your banter?
Oh my goodness, I'll be on Alas, My Awful Sea on Off the Tables Twitch. And then in the month of June, I'm actually going to be offline. So then we'll see.
You can find Jay on the videos on demand at twitch.tv/offthetable, where he is in many campaigns, including but not limited to Alas for the Awful Sea.
I DM'd a Pathfinder game, which I used lots of my improv chops in, that Lauren played in.
Yeah, yeah. I sure did play in that.
I played with, we met playing Mouse Guard last year.
Hashtag play Mouse Guard.
Do play Mouse Guard. Do it to yourself. Fucking message me And if you're nice to me, I might run a one shot for you. Honestly, like I really want to do more just playing without like the stress of doing something with air or like with crazy new people. So I want to run like a Call of Cthulhu one shot. I want to run a Pathfinder short campaign. There's lots of stuff that I want to run. So if you love the sound of my voice and if you like me on those things, fucking DM me. I don't give a shit.
Follow him on Twitter at Jay Dawson.
Yep.
Easy to remember.
The word J, like J-A-Y, Dawson.
Yeah.
Not just the letter.
J, the 10th letter of the alphabet, and Dawson like the creek.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
Is it your creek?
Yeah.
Is Dawson's creek, does it belong to you? Is it your family? Is it your family creek?
God, I fucking hate that show. No. Do you know how many fucking people asked me if I was related to Jack Dawson, the fictitious person who died in Titanic?
Actually, you know what? Because I lived in Halifax. Fun story. A lot of people are buried who, from the Titanic disaster, are actually buried in Halifax.
Really?
Yeah, in one particular cemetery. And there is, in fact, a Jay Dawson who was a Titanic victim.
Oh, God.
I don't know if it's...
Jay?
I gotta go. No! Damn it!
You've been dead for like for over 100 years.
It doesn't show, does it?
No.
You're pretty good. Like, what's your skin routine? Is it like that Korean skincare stuff? Or
oh god, like you guys see me on air all other times. I'm in like a sensory deprivation tank of like coconut oil and sugar salt rub that I just have applied constantly. It is an uphill battle. Like if I miss that for like 20 minutes, I look like Yzma from.
Well, I certainly learned a lot about skincare.
Okay, yeah, uh-huh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Are you taking notes?
What? No, of course, of course not. That wasn't important. I just found a random piece of paper and crumpled it. I think that was actually a character sheet.
You should probably uncrumple that.
All right. Thank you to Jay for hanging out with us on Too Many RPGs this week. Thanks to Jeff for making sweet music, and the cast and crew of Dungeon Rats for making an awesome game that someone really loves. And thanks to you, the listener, for listening for the thing. And if you want us to thank you even more, you should go do the thing. And the thing is liking and subscribing to the podcast wherever you found the podcast. Did I do it right? Did I do the thing?
You certainly did.
And I'd like to thank Lauren, who you can find at JL_nicegirl on Twitter.
Sorry. You can find Ethan at Super Robot Bear. And you can find all the links to all the things we talked about today on the podcast Twitter at Too Many RPGs. So tweet at us or use the hashtag TooManyRPGs. We want to hear from you. Oh my god.